We are in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 13, 14, and 15. Just going to take these three verses. In the future, the whole world will apostatize. We have been studying through this section of Scripture. The apostasy is coming. It's promised. It has to precede the tribulation according to this passage. Paul says the working of evil is already at place. You can see that propensity towards abandoning anything that's right and good in terms of doctrine and theology. That's right at work when Paul is writing this letter. And there's a time coming when the whole world will give itself over to that. We also see that the Antichrist is going to be coming for those who do not believe the gospel. That's what we studied last week. There will be a global reigning of this man. He's called the man of sin. He will literally have a global reign of the whole earth, and he will lock it down. That which is right now is going to be called evil then. He'll run it by military oppression. He has a henchman who will execute anyone who does not worship him as God. He'll set his headquarters up in the yet-to-be-built temple in Jerusalem, and he'll put down the false apostate world religion and replace it with worship of himself. So what we have in the verses where we are preceding it is what's going to happen to those who do not believe the gospel. It's a great passage. I have seen a lot of people believe in Christ from this passage, because it's a scary thing to be told Antichrist is coming for you. You are part of the congregation of those who are doomed, of those who are damned. If you do not believe the gospel, as this passage indicates, then the future for you is bleak and grim. Believe in the gospel. God has provided for you salvation. Believe in Christ, and you will be delivered from this coming horrible time that's coming to planet Earth. But my question today is, what is the destiny of the obedient believer? What about those of us who do believe the gospel? And in the verses we have together, he tells us what's going to happen to the obedient believer. And there is actually two statements here, and we're going to look at them. Two verses, one statement in each verse, and then a conclusion, which will be actually verse 15, because he gives us a therefore. So your future, according to verse 13, is election unto salvation, that God has chosen you or elected you unto salvation. Verse 13. Now we are being obligated or bound, we're under debt. Paul says, his group, we're bound, we're in debtors to be giving thanks to God always concerning you. You brothers, I've got great news. You're a constant source of my giving thanks to God. He explains it, having been beloved by the Lord. The term that he uses means that God loved him in the past. He loves him in the present. He's going to love him on into the future. They are beloved by the Lord. How do you know that they're beloved by the Lord? Well, because they are elected. If you look in the text, you can see that God chose them. God chose you. He selected them. He elected them. We use that term in an understanding that God is looking forward to a time in his kingdom where you will be honored and glorified along with Christ. That salvation here in context best fits what God has for you. You can see it at the last part of verse 14, unto the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. The Antichrist, he will have power and authority. He will rule the world. He will be a false Messiah, a false Christ, equipped with signs and wonders. That is his domain. That is his global kingdom. But Christ will come and destroy him with the word of his, with the breath of his mouth, the brightness of his coming, as we've seen. And what will you have? You won't share in the glory of the Antichrist. You will share in the glory of Christ. You will share in his glorious kingdom. Now, the next phrase after this is, in my translation, translated from the beginning. The problem is that as you look at the majority texts, it's not from the beginning, it's first fruits. Let me explain this if you look up here for a minute. If you have no spaces between the words, grandma is now here. Okay? No spaces. Can you read that? Grandma is now here? Yes. It could also equally say grandma is nowhere. Look at that. Putting the space in the different space totally changes the meaning of the word. That's what you have in the Greek construction. If there's no space, it's from the beginning. A preposition plus another word. If there is a space, it's first fruits. I mean, if there's no space, the words are together, it's first fruits. And I believe, based on my best study, that it's actually first fruits. So what he's saying here is that God has selected you first fruits unto salvation. And the preposition he uses is a direction. It's the opposite of ek. So out of, unto, these prepositions and languages do weird things. But in Paul's mind, the salvation is yet future, and God has chosen you, elected you as the first fruits. The first fruits are the best of the future. It's the best of what's yet to come. And he's chosen you for that future. And another good argument why that's what he means, salvation being future, is that it's done by the sanctification of the Spirit. That is what's going on right now. The Spirit is sanctifying you, and it's instrumental. He has selected you or elected you unto salvation. First fruits unto salvation by the sanctification of the Spirit. Now, if you're in our study in Romans, you can see how this makes such good sense of what Paul is doing. The Antichrist is coming for the congregation of the doomed, but you have been chosen by God as the best of what's yet to come, the future coming. And by faith of the truth. Which truth? Well, obviously, the gospel into which he called you through the gospel. So what Christ has done is start the process by inviting you to believe in the gospel. So you are called or invited to believe the gospel. And then God has elected you unto salvation through the sanctification of the Spirit and the belief of the truth. So the first thing that you can determine about your future is that God has elected you unto salvation. The second thing is in the last part of verse 14 that he has chosen you for the obtainment of Christ's glory. So what's your future? Well, election under salvation and then obtainment of Christ's glory. In the last part of verse 14, for the obtaining, the difficulty with obtaining is that it gives a verbal sense and it's actually just a noun. So obtainment, that glory is something that you will obtain into the obtainment of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. So first, election unto salvation, that's your future. Second, obtainment of glory. Where Antichrist is coming for those who are doomed, Christ is coming for those who believe the gospel. Isn't that great news? So what do you do? Well, the answer is, stay the course. Where do you go from here? If this is my future, what do we do right now? Well, the right now is actually verse 15. Therefore, see, because of this and because of that, therefore, brothers, be standing fast. Even if you have to stand with your weight on one leg, like our brother Mozzie, be standing fast. And be holding the traditions which you were taught, either through word or through epistle from us. So what do you do in the meantime? Well, you stand firm and you hold on to the traditions, would be the doctrines, the patterns that Paul established, the protocol, if you will, that he established in all of his churches. And he taught them. He taught them by letter. He taught them by his presence. So what do you do in light of the coming glorious future? The answer is, stay the course. Don't let anything move you off of the Word of God. Keep it solid. Keep it firm. Don't let circumstances, don't let temptation, don't let work throw you off the course. Did you see this guy in the paper yesterday? Did you read this? Front page paper, Dallas Morning News. Dale Duke leaves the courtroom with his parents after his exoneration. He served 14 years in prison. 14 years in prison. And he was wrongfully convicted. Dale Lincoln Duke won't bear false witness, not even to help himself. That's why, he said, he went to prison 14 years ago. This has been a 20-year ordeal. He was indicted 20 years ago. He went to prison 14 years ago, but well, I'll explain that in a minute. That's why, he said, he went to prison 14 years ago rather than remaining free by falsely admitting he molested his 7-year-old stepdaughter. State District Judge Susan Hawk exonerated Duke on Friday, saying his imprisonment was unjust. He was freed after the Dallas County District Attorney's Office discovered a prosecutor who's now dead withheld evidence that could have bolstered his claims of innocence. And his stepdaughter admitted in court that she lied about the abuse. She admitted it in court more than one time, and no one would listen to her. Duke, now 60, told reporters after his release that he didn't lie to remain free because the Bible preaches, do not bear false witness. I'm telling you, this is a perfect application of that commandment of the Ten Commandments. Don't bear false witness is actually a court of law. Don't give a false witness before a judge. And Mosaic law being case law, it applies to all kinds of other things. But this is absolutely spot on exegesis. Do not bear false witness. Quote, I had to do something I could live with, he said, standing in the courtroom next to his attorney, who worked to free him since has worked to free him since 1998. Quote, I go to the Lord whenever I have a problem. The judge said when releasing Duke that it was wrong that he wasn't freed after the girl first recanted. It was unjust back in 1998 that you were not released at that time, Hawk said from the bench. I can't apologize enough for someone wasting 20 years of a life. You are free to walk out of this courtroom today. Many of those in the courtroom stood and applauded. The judge asked to shake Duke's hand before he left. Duke walked up to the bench, extended his hand, and smiled. District Attorney Craig Watkins also apologized to Duke. Quote, I'm sorry for what happened, Watkins told him, shaking his hand. Duke replied, not a problem. This man has done more to adorn the gospel than a lot of evangelists. He stayed the course. It's just 20 years. It's just a life. My future, my home, is yet to come. So in light of God's glorious salvation that comes through the gospel, you have been elected, chosen to a future salvation that isn't realized yet. But Christ will come and reign on this earth. And you've also been given the attainment of His coming glory. So now, be unshakable, be unmovable, stand fast in the solid Word of God. Our Father, we thank You that we can come to You and know that by Your Spirit You give us the strength to do what honors You in every circumstance. That regardless of the direction this world is heading, we can stand firm on your word and know that you will come for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.